Welcome to Imagine This Podcast. Where are all of our spaces edition? This is David Lee.
Hey, David, it's Mac Antigua.
We're so excited to be here today. We had such a great time with our guest last week that we have another guest in the studio today.
Let's make it a thing. Let's just keep having people that aren't us here that are smarter than us talking about these topics.
Well, that's really the goal, right? Is to get smarter people than us, because nobody wants to listen to us do this stupid banter back and
much
forth.
Much like rockets that launch, we're like little fuel things that go away. And folks like our guests are like the wonderful space extraterrestrials that we meet along the way.
That moment, I think, is Max Q, I believe, or Max Roll in the time of astronaut space launch. Did you know, fun fact about me? I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid.
Okay.
But I'm really terrible at math. And so there's no good reason for them to launch anybody in space who can't do anything.
You could have played out by the time you would launch into space, the machines would pretty much be very user-friendly by that time. You would have thought the UX experience by that time would just be like, hit button,
still,
go.
They're still running basically 60s technology, right? I mean, you still have to like do math and engineer stuff when you're in space.
I'm so glad this isn't Imagine NASA. I'm so glad it's not that podcast.
That's right.
Because we'd be so unprepared.
Although our pro gear is almost like NASA.
This is NASA. Better than NASA.
That's right.
This is like the alien technology. We've come full circle. So just want to give context. We're talking about issues around our work. And one of the key things about our work here at Imagine MKE is about support for artists. And one way to make sure artists thrive is that they actually have access to spaces where they can make and practice and show and perform their work. So to that end, we're really excited to bring in our guest to talk more about that. And we have in the pod, Jim Nooner. Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Jim, you can't see this because it's not a video pod, but Jim's our tallest guest ever. So we've had to find more boxes to elevate the microphone. We hope that it still produces a beautiful sound quality.
I'll just be taller on the radio.
You have a huge stature. Awesome. Jim Nooner, great to have you here. And would love to just take a few seconds here for you to share a little bit about your own story. Jim Nooner origin story.
All right.
How did you come to intersect with this question, which is around how do we make sure that artists can have better access to spaces to make, show, and perform their work?
Great. So I am a Milwaukee native, went to Marquette High, went to Marquette University. And then, like a lot of my friends that graduated in the 90s, moved away immediately after college and lived out on the West Coast in San Francisco and Portland for a long time. Just recently moved back. And when I did, was trying to reconnect with the arts community here in Milwaukee. And I connected with a couple things. One, I connected with a group called Mad Rogues Theater Company, formerly Bard and Bourbon. And they're a young, sort of nomadic theater company that needed places to perform and was trying to do more. And one of the things I was first tasked with last summer was finding all the spaces for an entire season. Mm-hmm. So I had to immediately start doing that and start talking to people and finding out where those were. Compounding that is one of the spaces that we always worked with was 10th Street Theater. I'm not sure if you're familiar with. It was the one that In Tandem Theater had their space. And when unfortunately went to the exit stage left, we had to find another space. So I was out there talking to anyone and everyone. Actually, one of the spaces that we ended up looking at is the building we're in right now, No Studios, which is actually our, sort of administrative home. And then I started talking to anyone that could potentially have a theater space, and that's the traditional, the Marcus Centers and Skylights and so on, and then the non-traditional. I finally made it through doing that, and I realized how hard it was, and I started talking to others who were doing a similar thing and got connected with the Milwaukee Theater Alliance and Jamie and Kira, who started that. I know you've talked to them before. And realize that everybody is having the same issue that I was, that the perception out there is that there's not enough space, or it's hard to find, or it's hard to get access to. And then finally, in the fall, whenever it was, I got connected with one of the Support for Artists groups with you all.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's how you found that. That's how you found us. We met and bonded over the fact that I grew up in San Francisco. You lived out there for a bit. I think you worked at ACT. I studied at ACT.
Yep.
And I think the intersection with our work group, with the artist support work group, is that I think, as Mac mentioned in the intro, one of the agenda points is expand access to spaces, develop more spaces for artists to work, perform, rehearse, show, and have a more vibrant marketplace to be able to perform in. And so when you joined the artist support work group, that's the piece you took on, right? Because it had the alignment of what you were also doing.
Yes, it absolutely was. And it was, you know, it was alignment for what I was personally doing and had to do as part of my job. It was the number one agenda item of the first meeting that I went to of the Milwaukee Theater Alliance. Said, hey, we need to know what's out there. We need to figure out if, you know, what is available and what isn't, with things like In Tandem and the 10th Street Theater going away and Alchemist not that long ago and so on. So I took it upon myself. I came in and talked to you, David, with Matt Kempel, who also is pretty into this for his work with Milwaukee Comedy, and looked at some tools that are out there in other cities, and realized that it wasn't out there. started talking to, you know, how we can start to find this, and took it upon myself to do the research, you know, by myself.
What a great example of how somebody can just jump into one of our work groups, make an action commitment, and then actually follow through on it, right? Which is basically what he's here to report on, right?
But I also think the other thing to note is that our agenda was developed by the field. Mm-hmm. And so it relates to, like, this is why it's not serendipity, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that the arts and cultural field, performing arts-wise, needed to know more about. You've been in this process. You came to our container, which hopefully accelerated some more. And again, we're trying to use this platform to amplify more about what you've learned. And so you're an engineer, or at least that's part of one of your identities. And so you approached it with the rigor of an engineer. Tell us about the surveying process, the discovery process.
Yeah. So I like to call it, you know, it's really more of like a research study, you know, an engineer, you know, there's a hypothesis and I'm going to go out and test it. Mm-hmm. I'll start with sort of the two questions that I was trying to find. Mm-hmm. The answer to is, one, are there enough spaces out there? You know, and I started with the thing that I knew best, which is, are there enough performance spaces for theaters? Mm-hmm. You know, and then quickly realized that, you know, one, that, you know, there's a lot of hybrid spaces out there. Mm-hmm. So what is a theater space, and what is no studios? You know, mm-hmm. is it a theater space, or what is it? And then the second question that I wanted to figure out is, are those, you know, efficiently and effectively distributed?
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. are they, the question again that Imagine was trying to ask, which is, access to those spaces, you know. So I went about that with, you know, lots of different ways. One is just the sort of brute force. I looked on, you know, the Shepherd and Visit Milwaukee and, you know, Milwaukee 365 and the Radio Milwaukee calendar and, you know, Facebook events. I don't know how many things. If you look at the things that I'm interested in Facebook, I'm a really interesting person. I don't go to 95% of them, but I'm really interested in lots of things. And Eventbrite and so on, to try to see what people are doing and where they're doing them. That was the first thing. You know, the second thing is just, sometimes I would actually go to those, and whether it was mm-hmm. through Doors Open or music festivals or, you know, the gallery nights, the, you know, ones that you've done and the things over in the Third Ward and you name it. And then go to, because I'm, you know, in the theater world, you know, go to see friends and bands and so on. So go to see, because part of, you know, part of seeing what the spaces are is not just seeing them on a listing in, you know, the Shepherd, it's actually going to see what it's like when people are there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you can tell what a space is. You know, and then talking to others, you know, like I mentioned, I talked to Matt Kempel, who, you know, When we started this, he was running the Underground Collaborative. He's just launched. I know you actually have been over to his new, the Laughing Tap. Mm-hmm. That is so awesome that that is open.
Yeah.
And in a space that is about to get even, you know, that neighborhood.
Even more. Yeah.
There's some exciting things about to happen there.
Yeah. It made our things we love list.
Really?
Yeah.
Recently
in January. Yeah.
I believe it. Yeah. It is. I mean, sold out every weekend. So, and it opened like on the same weekend that Ampersand, you know, a callback, you know, reopened what used to be called the 10th Street Theater.
Yeah.
So, you know, from the ashes, an amazing thing happened. So, you know, talking to, you know, venue managers, sort of large and small from Walker's Point Center for the Arts, you know, here at No Studios, you know, Kirk at 53212 Presents, you know, the Marcus Center, St. Kate's, you know, Skylight, you know, to see what their experiences are, and then talking to theater producers, and you know, another No Studios member here who is now my boss, my co-worker Jared Judge of Book Live, which, you know, sort of turned me into, I'm now part of a startup.
Yeah.
I never did it when I was out in Silicon Valley.
You had to come back
when
here.
When I was in my 20s, but I came back here and now I'm in a tech startup. Milwaukee wants to be a tech hub, exhibit A.
That's right.
You can do it.
So hundreds of hours, it sounds like, of trolling the webs, going to places, pounding the shoe leather, and where is it? Is it in like in a super algorithm that you've developed?
Right now.
Imagine like in the movie War Games, Whopper, like the thing with all the lights that's working.
No, it is a little.
NASA reference.
Another NASA reference.
It is a little more low tech than that. It is just a Google Sheet, you know,
with
lots of links and, you know,
that's awesome.
And hyperlinks. And yeah, it is, you know, 100, 400, 450, I think, you know, different, you know, and it is a mix because it is both the arts groups that are at venues and the venues, you know, themselves are on the list.
Right.
So, and it was, you know, do they get CAMPAC funding and are they a Visit Milwaukee, you know, or are they part of Doors Open, you know? Mm. So yes, that again, me as the engineer, me as the nerdy MBA guy as well, that was how I had to organize everything. But it, you know, It did show some trends, you know, that there are, you know, somewhere in all of your, there's an abundance, you know, we do have abundance. That that is not the problem. Availability is not the problem. You know, and we'll get to the problem is access.
So here we go. Like everyone listening, thousands of people listening are like,
thousands.
What do you got? What do you got, Jim? What you learn?
Yeah.
What you learn?
Yeah. What I learned is access is the problem. Availability is not, you know, and the number of venues out there is not the problem because, you know, sort of across the board, venues large and small, from, you know, Marcus Center and St. Kate's and Skylight to, you know, this place, No Studios and 53212 Presents and Walker's Point, you know, all said, we have space. We are looking to fill it. We don't, one, know how to find the people that are able to do it, or have, you know, another thing that is an issue is, or have the time to do it. Because very few places have a person dedicated to, you know, going out and helping to fill space.
Book it. A booker, right?
In
essence, right?
You know, it's Chella's, you know, 100th thing on her list at Walker's Point Center for the Arts is finding things to be in there. They have a theater there.
So you're not just talking about prime time doing a show. You're also talking about during the day when they could be used for rehearsal. You're talking about across the board. Okay.
Yeah. Across the board. So that's one thing. The other findings that I found is, you know, again, there's space if we can connect the, you know, the sort of buyers and the sellers and the users and the, you know, the users and the venue managers. If we can find an efficient way to do that, there is enough space. Mm-hmm. The other problem is access in all its other forms. There's a lot of old buildings in this city. There's a lot of old buildings that are not accessibility in the ADA, you know, world that aren't ADA compliant. That's an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, there's also a lot that are not along public transportation or not easy to walk to or not near other things, you know. There's a lot of things spread around a fairly large city with very little critical mass in any one place.
Right.
So
I'm actually reminded of a moment earlier today where Mac was trying to navigate the Arch properties.
And just for those at home, what does that mean? What does that mean for people at home? Remind people what the Arch properties
are. The Arch program is a city program where you can buy a city-owned property for a low amount of money, and the city will loan you at a low interest rate, $25,000, to fix up this property.
0% interest rate. 0% interest rate. They will match
you. Money, yeah.
They'll match you $25,000 for education or for artists.
Arts, yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
So in theory, if I want to get that full 25K, I got to show 25K.
Yep.
So yeah, and as David said, we just decided to go to the website, just to learn more.
Check it out, right? See if how easy it was.
I'd like to think I'm good at tech. It took me 30 minutes to get to the map and to figure out where even the things were.
I mean, but this is like a micro example of the access issue, right? Like I walked in and we had Lindsay and Mac over his computer, and I literally thought that they were trying to solve like a serious Imagine MKE problem. And it was really just like, how do we filter this map to find out what's available?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And I'm like, it shouldn't be that hard, right?
Yep.
And that's a micro example of access. No,
it's absolutely. And there isn't a central, which is why I'm really excited with, you know, a year ago when I first moved here, Imagine was just a dream in someone's eye, and David, you weren't here yet, and Mac, you definitely weren't here yet.
I was still in the womb. I was still in the proverbial professional womb.
So I'm really glad that, you know, as the hub of information, there now potentially is a place for this information going forward, because that is another theme that I saw, that nobody knew where to go to find this.
I know you're not being negative on purpose, because you're doing an assessment. But I do want to use sort of an asset lens. Were there any sort of green shoots or examples of positive things? Mm-hmm. And tell me more. Could you speak about that? Like, what? I know you're not meaning to be doom and gloom, but I know you're reflecting back. But there are examples of things that are working. And what? Could you speak to that and sort of a little bit about that?
The things that are working are, I mean, Milwaukee does really well at sort of multi-use spaces, you know, and we're sitting in one, you know, no studios. Like I sort of joked in the beginning, what is it? You know, it's a slash, it's an and, you know, it is a performance venue. It's also a film studio. It's also a co-working space. It's also an office for things. It's also, we have our board meetings here for Mad Rogues. We're, you know, we had our fundraiser here. So there's a lot, and there's other, you know, whether it's Sherman Phoenix or, you know, a bar gallery or, you know, and the greatest example of this in Milwaukee, and it is a growing thing, is all of the different tap rooms, you know, you know, and it started with, you know, the sort of granddaddy of them all here, Lakefront, you know, Lakefront Brewery. Which now has, I forget how many years, Keg Stand Up has been going, you know, the longest running, hundreds of people come to a comedy show at a brewery, you know, once a month on a Sunday, you know, and they have other things like that. And you name it, you know, the Fringe Festival had their fundraiser at Hacienda Brewing, and, you know, the list goes on. You know, Good City has a thing about the MPS, a referendum next week, and so on. They are becoming, and they are, you know, sort of community resources for the arts. The greatest one that I love, because we work there, is Enlighten Brewing. Which, you know, has, you name it, you know, they actually have the Milwaukee, you know, what do they call it? The Welcome to Milwaukee, or the Milwaukee Welcome Party that they have once a quarter kind of thing is there. They had a Christmas party for artists, you know, last December. They have a artist residency program with Scout Gallery as a, that is an amazing trend. And there's some, you know, some grassroots, like I was saying, that, you know, both Matt, and the Laughing Tap and the Ampersand opened recently, and obviously you know the ballet opened a building, you know. I was at the
a small guerrilla grassroots organization.
There's this little, you know,
a mom and pop shop
you know, actually nonprofit arts, and, you know, we are grassroots.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how large you get. You know, that's an amazing thing. And last week at the DNC and the Generator Community event, Chris Abele said, this is amazing. No other city do you have both the other cities, the symphonies are closing. You know, yeah. Ours is building a new building. The ballet just opened a building. Mm-hmm. The Oriental is getting a facelift, and Milwaukee Rep just announced that they're going to be doing so. That is right. Amazing.
Right.
You know, and all of that, not to mention the Sherman Phoenix and whatever Milwaukee is going to do, speaking of the ballet, potentially, right. Hopefully, knock on wood, the Beacon is going right. to move into right. there to the ballet's old space. So all of that is amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of like sports leagues. Like, you know, things are good when they're building new stadiums. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying, right? Like these yep. entities yep. are building edifices or reforming them in a way. And that's gotta be a good sign. That's yep. an uptick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
For that.
And it is because, you know, because I have the experience of being on the West Coast for, you know, being outside of Milwaukee, it's not, and you know, David, you know how it is in LA and you, yeah. you know, in Chicago, and yeah. it's not knock it down and put something else up. Right. Half of those things that we talked about, actually most of the things with the exception of the ballet, is renovating an old thing.
Yeah.
You know, and doing it modern, you know, which more again, Milwaukee does really well.
Yeah.
You know.
So in your survey, I'm sort of reflecting back to a conversation I had with Del Wilson, who's the executive director at MIAC, and, mm-hmm. and he had I'd mentioned on this podcast a couple episodes ago this idea that MIAC is severely underutilized, right?
Milwaukee
Youth yep. Arts Center.
Yep. I'm acknowledging Sorry. That we have a Beyond Milwaukee audience. Hi there,
yeah.
my cousin in Philadelphia. Thanks for listening.
So the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center. Yep. Highly underutilized because typically it's utilized when kids are out of school yep. In the after school time and evening time. And during the daytime, there's a whole big campus. It's not that big, but it's a big space with mm-hmm. a lot of rehearsal spaces, office spaces inside that's not being utilized. What would you, and he said, I think the utilization rate is about 30%.
Yep.
What would you say is the utilization rate of all the spaces in Milwaukee that could host arts performances and this sort of stuff?
This is the infographic mm-hmm. question. Right. We're going to pull the infographic.
I mean, I don't have I don't have quantitative numbers yeah. on that, but
your gut.
Hazard yeah. a guess.
My gut is absolutely that is consistent
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, that
30%.
You know, because wherever it is, you know, whether it's the Marcus yeah. Center is primarily at night, you know, whatever yeah. it is has a prime time, either weekends, you know, weeknights, daytime, you know, nighttime, you know, by Walker's Point Center for the Arts, you know, is yeah. 12 to 5, you know, 5 days a week, you know, and has plenty of other time if there was a way to do it.
Right, you right, know? Right, right. So if I'm looking at this from just a pure business standpoint, right, I'm mm-hmm. looking at what, 60, 70% underutilization. Mm-hmm. That's a real problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we have that much capacity that's just not being
right.
filled up or we have any velocity, like product velocity through, that feels like a real opportunity for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we were an airline flying
yep.
airplanes at 30%, we would not be an airline anymore.
That's right.
You know, so
So the next question is, I'm playing the person at home. Why is it like this, Jim? Because this is really compelling stuff. But like, tell me why. What's your takes on how do we get here?
Yeah, I mean, you know the sort of obvious answer to those are, you know, all the things that we know about Milwaukee. It is the Milwaukee is very segregated and Milwaukee is very siloed and the arts industry is very siloed, you know, and I realized that as I was going through this, I was looking at it myself through the lens of a theater producer, you know, and I was looking at it.
You're doing one of the few de-siloed acts of literally going to all these places,
yeah.
yet you had a siloed frame of mind doing
it. No, doing it and I was like, oh, I need to step back and not think of these spaces just how they could be used for a theater
right.
producer, yeah. you know, and I've talked to, folks who run dance companies that they right. have different needs or people who do, you know, like you were saying, MIAC is primarily education for kids. That's a daytime thing. You know, places that are primarily, you know, tap rooms. You know, I even talked to the folks who run Blue's Egg.
Mm.
From 3 o'clock on, nothing's happening there. I mean, they would love for things to be happening there.
Yeah.
You know, that it's all over the place.
Right.
So the problem is connecting those two people and efficiently doing that. And
right, right. How do you efficiently make that market when they're running Blue's Egg and somebody else is like, what's the easiest way for me to get my show up or my or my dance performance up quickly, right? And it's to go to a place with a stage, with lights, with all the stuff that maybe Blue's Egg doesn't have, right?
Right, right. Or, and, you know, part of how we got here, you know, back to your original question was, you know, everybody stuck in the traditional forms, you know, how... Again, using how theater was done is not how it will be in the future. You know, there's a huge movement in New York, you know, for site-specific theater. You know, and it's happening here. There's some, you know, the Wild Space Dance is doing a thing at Boswell. The last one was up at a, you know, and that's part of what they do. You know, and like I said, we've done things at, you know, at a brewery and at Alice Arts, and, you know, we'll go anywhere. But that is the new forms and the new, you know, shorter runs and event, you know, it's how entertainment is competing with Netflix and your phone and, you know, all of those things.
Special event.
And you have connected to food or, you know, like the sound bites that 88.9 just did or, and things like that. Mm-hmm. Changing the paradigm. That's how you can fill, you know, a space like Blue's Egg if it's a one night thing instead of a 3 week run, you know, and so on. So that is part of it. How did we get here? Was actually a sort of a good thing, you know, that the last 2 years there has been a building boom. You know, and it, you know, starts the fact that this building that we're in, you know, is right near Fiserv Forum and all the things that are happening around there, you know, and, you know, calling back to MIAC and the first stage. And, you know, when that first went in, it was on the other side of the freeway, you know, was the other side. It wasn't close to anything else. Now it just sort of feels like it's part of,
you know,
so that is an opportunity that we have. That we can start to sort of fill in these connective tissues and potentially have some critical mass and have, you know, I'll ask you, because I've asked a bunch of people this, where is the cultural arts district in Milwaukee? There, you know, and you ask five people, they would give you five different answers potentially. And that's not the case in most other cities, you know, and I think we can get there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I've had drinks with... last night with a friend, and, you know, he said Milwaukee is almost there, you know, we're so close to having the things that, you know, and, you know, the DNC is helping a lot, you know, but I'm more concerned about the day after the DNC and the month after the DNC, you know, because we are who we are in Milwaukee, it'll be fine. We'll pull it off. You know, everything that is necessary for the DNC. But I'm, again, sort of worried about the month after and the year after that.
So, Jim, you didn't know about this, but when you walked into this room and you talked with me and David, we have this unique power.
Nice.
We can establish someone to be the czar of arts and culture.
Awesome.
But it only happens in a 2-minute burst.
Cool.
Quite candidly... We can't really back up whatever the czar says.
It goes away.
But it goes away.
The recommendations also go away.
It all goes away in 2 minutes.
So everything is only 2 minutes.
We're going to make you the czar of arts and culture of Milwaukee. Now, what needs to happen to address everything you just talked about?
Okay. Two things that are related. And they're all having to do with resource sharing and collaboration. You know, that the ethos, you know, needs to be that everything is like the Sherman Phoenix, you know, that is community and, you know, business and nonprofits and arts and, you know, that everything we do needs to be that, you know, model that everywhere. Every new development, you know, going forward is that, you know, everywhere. Every arts organization that does something does it in that ethos. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. I even, you know, had that can go all the way to you know, our funders from CAMPAC and the, you know, Arts Board and so on, they no longer fund just one organization. You have to come in with two or three. And I've talked to other arts leaders who are, who would love that. Mm-hmm. It's actually more attractive and more powerful if you have partners. And a lot of times that happens, but making it the, right now it's the exception. And let's make that the, let's make that the rule.
Right.
You know, that if someone comes in just for themselves for a grant, people would look at it and go, oh, that was odd. I haven't seen one of these in a while. That's the first thing. And the second thing is actually harkening back to the 1920s of Milwaukee. Are you familiar with the City of the Lighted Schoolhouse? The idea?
I didn't. I moved in 8 years ago, okay. So I'm still learning.
So Milwaukee, look in your history books, was in the beginning of last century, the beginning of the 1910s, 1920s, was called the City of the Lighted Schoolhouse. It was the origin of the MPS recreation, was that the city decided that these resources, these Milwaukee public school buildings, should have use all the time. Hence right. The lighted schoolhouse, yeah. Shameless plug for, we need to pass the MPS referendum, that's the baseline and then go from there.
Yeah.
That was part of our identity. It was part of our ethos 100 years ago, and it can be again.
Yeah.
The MPS resources, and you can add in the, Milwaukee County Park System is an amazing resource. It's talking about spaces that is underutilized. I so much want to do a performance in North Division Theater. Mm-hmm. It's, that space has amazing space for arts. But is under, talking about underutilized, but also inaccessible, because how do you get there? Mm. So it's all of, those are the two things.
It was a glorious reign as czar,
yep.
Wasn't it?
Done. That's it.
All those recommendations, unfortunately, are going to go away in about 30 seconds.
But our charge is to hold on to the recommendations and continue the work. We got to fix this czar power. I hate that it's only 2 minutes at a time.
I know. This is the problem with magic, right?
It's awful.
It's only in this room.
It's only in this room.
This room is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just as you're talking about the lighted schoolhouse, I was reminded of my days back in hunger fighting when we were thinking about, how would we convert kitchen capacity in any city to work 24 hours a day so we could actually process the food coming through the food banks at a low cost, right? Because if food's coming through the food bank, it's near expiration. Could we just get into a processing line to extend the life and then give it out for free? And the place we always thought about was school kitchens.
Yeah.
Are only, in service a couple hours a day. Can you get them going on third shift? We just never were able to figure it out. And this underutilization of capacity continues to follow me everywhere.
I'm struck by my past life working in violence prevention youth development. And there was a movement like in the late 90s, early 2000s called Beacon Schools out of New York. And the premise was these schools are beacons because they're lit after school. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the tradition you're talking about. Yep. These are portals where families can go to. They trust the schools. They're in their communities to access things, not just education, right, but also key family supportive services that you're talking about, or the arts and culture that you're talking about. So that's that. I just had this flashback of oh, yeah, it was a trend called Beacon Schools that they had for a while. And that's the history, the lighted schoolhouse.
That's right.
While our powers have waned, we always have the ability for joyful abundance, and we're happy to invite our guest, Jim, to share, what are you celebrating? What is the joyful abundance in Milwaukee's art and culture that you're celebrating?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So I would like to celebrate an organization, nonprofit called Artworks for Milwaukee. It's a group that I've had the privilege of working with for about the past year. They're an early workforce development nonprofit, gives teens 21st century career training through arts internships. That's through partnerships with MPS and community groups like Walnut Way and the LGBT Community Center. If you want to know more about them, they are having, speaking of third space, they are having a third space brewing Give 20 event on Thursday, March 12th from 4 to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Go there, have a beer, and 20% of the proceeds go to Artworks for Milwaukee. A great, Great organization doing great things for teens. Oh, and also in a cool space. Tying it all together.
Jim, where can they find you if they wanted to follow up with you and yell things at you and curse at you after this?
Yeah, they can find me at No Studios. They can find me at the Milwaukee Theater Alliance. That's MilwaukeeTheaterAlliance.com. Mm-hmm. I'm the managing director there. And they can find me this weekend. I don't know when this is happening. Mad Rogues is at the Marcus Center this weekend.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Jim, for doing it. You know, speaking of abundance here that's happening in the city, you are among that abundance. Thanks for the work that you've done to make sure we could make things happen for artists. And thank you for listening along the pod. Our listening audience has grown by leaps and bounds exponentially from 1 to 2 to 4. Let's get it to 16.
I think we're at 10.
Let's get it to 16 and 32 in the next month. That being said, you can make it easier on you by following us. Follow us on Twitter at @imagine_MKE or on Insta as well. Or you can holler at us on Facebook. Just look up Imagine MKE and follow our page there.
You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or else Spotify. You can stream on our website and send us your feedback at pod@imaginemke.org.
Or if you want to replace our Tropical House beats at the beginning, we're still looking.
We're
still looking for a new opening theme.
We need a new pod jingle.
And we're willing to pay $10 for
it. Or more. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Bye.